Aleph, 8 lines from the bottom of the page. Or in these Gemaras, it's 14a3, towards the end of the page. The Gemara is trying to figure out, because we're learning out, how do you know a Yavama Chalitza permits her to remarry to everybody else? Maybe it just permits her to not have to marry this guy. And the Gemara is going back and forth. Maybe Get should be good by Yibum. Maybe Chalitza should be good by a woman. Okay? And the Gemara is asking all these questions. Maybe Chalitza is good for a regular woman to unmarry. And the Gemara is making Kal v'chomer the whole time. Because if a woman, that Chalitza doesn't help, goes out with a Get, so Yibum that Chalitza helps, for sure she should be able to go out with a Get. And the Gemara is going back and forth. Anyway, now the Gemara is going to say another reason why a Get is not good for a Yibum. Okay? Now again, this is before she gets married. The brother died, she has to do Yibum, or Chalitza. So the question, why can't he just give her a Get and let her get out of there? So Gemara says like this, Amar Kra, because the Torah says, because of law, by a Get, the Torah says you have to write, no, 14a3. You're right for turning the page, but we're starting from the beginning. The Pasuk says like this, by a Get, the Torah says, because of law, you have to write for her. It doesn't say the cost of Sefer Krisis. It just doesn't say write a Get. It says you have to write for her. What does it exclude? It teaches us that she has to get a Get, but a Yibum is not allowed to get a Get. Only she can get a Get, meaning a married woman, but not a Yibum. So the Gemara says, how do you know that's what law teaches us? Maybe means, like the Gemara Taka says, from the cost of law, we learn out you need to write a Get for the sake of the woman who's getting divorced. You can't have a regular Get already for action, you know. It needs to be written explicitly for the sake of the man, sake of the woman. So how do you know law teaches us that only she can get a Get, not a Yibum? Maybe it teaches us that you need a Lishma. So Gemara said, no, today law ksivit. And the Pasuk says twice the word law. One, to teach us that you have to write it Lishma. And one, to teach us that only a woman gets a Get, not a Yibum. So Gemara says, I still need both laws. Okay? Because it says, Chad lo lishma. One teaches us law means it has to be written explicitly for her name. Ve'idach, and the other one says, law v'lei lo v'lechavrta. You can't use one Get for two women. Even the Gemara says, what happens if a guy is married to two wives? Both have the exact same name. Rachel Bas Yaakov. Okay? So a guy married two wives. Each one has the name Rachel Bas Yaakov. And he wants to divorce both of them. So he could write a Get for both of them, Lishma, for their names, explicitly for them. But the Gemara says the Torah tells us it's still no good. You can't divorce two women with the same Get. How do we learn it out? From the extra law. One law teaches us it has to be written the Shema. And the second law teaches us it has to be for her and not for her and her friend. Right? So then the Gemara's go back to the original case. So how you want to tell me that Get is not good for me by Yibum? Because it says law, both laws are occupied already. There's nothing extra to learn it out from.
Why not
though? Huh?
Two wives same name.
You can't. The Torah said because of law, not Lohem. Law means it's exercise kosov. It has to be written explicitly for the person, the one woman. Yeah. Not only that, you can't even use the same Get twice for the same wife. What happens? A guy married a woman, divorced her, remarries her, and wants to divorce her again. Yeah? He can't even use the same Get for the same woman twice. It's like the power of it is used up already. You can't use the same Get for the same wife.
How do you nullify a Get?
Nullify? What do you mean?
After he remarried, the previous Get gets nullified automatically, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, but how do you know that? Maybe you could use the same Get twice. You don't know, maybe you could. That's it, because the Torah says law. It's only a good for an individual usage. You can't use it for double usage. But anyway, so the Gemara is going back now, so we still don't know why you can't use a get for a Yibum. The Gemara tried to answer because it said by get law, only for her, not for Yibum, but those laws are all used. So the Gemara is going back to the original question of the Gemara. Well, from where do we learn that you cannot give a get to a Yibum? So the Gemara answers, okay, a new source. It says, by Chalitza now. You know, you take off the shoe and she spits, the whole process, right? So the Gemara says, now, in only the shoe can get her out. But midach rinalai, and nothing else. Why? Because the Gemara says, because the word now is extra. Because it says a few times. So the Gemara asks, but nevertheless, behind now, how could you tell me that this now is extra, is used for this? We need it for a different din. It says in the Braisa like this. It says in the Torah, na'alai hishu. Okay? It says in the Pasuk, by Chalitza, he takes off his shoe. Na'alai in, eli ala na'alai. I only know that it has to be his shoe. Now, shakaladaminalai, how can I... From where do we learn, the Gemara says, that you can use anybody's shoe? How do you know it has to be his shoe? So it says, now, because it says the word now twice. Right? One teaches us you need a shoe, and one pasuk teaches us that it doesn't have to be his shoe. Okay? What do we see from here? Both nows are not extra anymore because they're used. So how can you say now is an extra pasuk? Teaching me by Yibum, you can only use a shoe. And you can't use anything else. There's no extra nows. It's all used for various different dinim. So the Gemara says, if so, Imkein, the Gemara is in the middle. Imkein ma'tamad le'min na'alei. So why does it say his shoe? If you could use any shoe, why taka does the Torah say na'alei his shoe? So the Gemara says, na'alei haru'uyalei. It has to be, his shoe mean, not that he has to own it. Nala means it has to be a shoe that fits him. What do you mean a shoe that fits him? Prat l'godol sheni yochel lalich bei. If the shoe is too big that the guy can't walk it, he's a size 4 and the shoe is a size 15. So you can't, the guy can't walk. It's not even good for him. In other words, Nala doesn't mean he has to own it. Nala means it has to be fit for him. Or, Prat l'kotna, if it's such a small shoe, shein echefes reiv ragli, that it doesn't fit the majority of his foot. The guy's a big foot, and the shoe is a little shoe. So, and also another thing it says, Prat, it also excludes, lemesulayim she'en le'yakev, that if the shoe is missing the sole of the heel, meaning that there's no heel on the shoe, it's also not kosher. Okay? So again, the Gemara is going back to the original question. All these nals are extra, are not extra, they all learned al-dinim from them. So from where do we know that by Yibum you can't use a get? So the Gemara says, Im kei nichtiv kra nal, the Torah could have said the word nal. It says, ha no'al, the shoe, so the hay is extra. Shema min otarti, it teaches us all the dinim. So the bottom line of the Gemara is, you know from where we learn out that you cannot give a get to a woman who needs to do Yibam or Chalitza. We learn out from the word Hano'al, the hay is extra, which teaches us only a shoe can free her to marry, nothing else. Unless, like you said, when she gets married to the Yibam, she does Yibam, then eventually she wants to divorce, she's allowed to divorce her with a get. But until that takes place, the only thing that would free the woman from getting married is Chalitza. If a man who's supposed to do Yibum would write her a get, it's not going to help.
Does he wear the shoe?
Yeah.
He wears actually the shoe.
Puts on the shoe and he has to tie it up and then she has to take it off him. It's a whole... I never witnessed... I regret. I was invited a few times to see a Chalitza. I never saw one yet. But next time...
It's only one shoe?
Only one shoe.
Yeah.
Then there's a whole shaila, right shoe, left shoe, if you're left footed.
It really happens?
What shoe do you...
At least it really happens?
Sure. Sure. It's not very common, but it happens, sure. Okay. New Mishnah. Yidalad Amid Beis. There is an Eved Ivri and there's an Eved Kanani. Eved Ivri means a Jewish slave. Now, a Jewish slave, we're going to see a whole argument in the Gemara, but there's two scenarios, only two cases, that a Jewish person could be sold as a slave. One is called Machru Bezdin, and one is called Meicher Atzmi. One case is a guy steals, he has no money to pay back the object he stole, Bezdin sells him, takes the money and pays back the guy. Okay? That's called Machru Bezdin. Meicher Atzmi means the guy is so broke, he has nothing to eat, nothing to wear, he's allowed to sell himself as a slave. Okay? Now the Gemara, the Mishnah is going to be discussing this going on in the next many pages of the various different types of acquisitions, because the Mishnah before, the first Mishnah was speaking how a woman acquires herself, becomes acquired, and how she becomes free. Right? So now the Mishnah in Kedusha, the first parak, discussing various different acquisitions for various different things. So the Mishnah says like this, Eved Ivri, how do you acquire a Yiddish slave? And here's, this is speaking, Machru Bezdin, when Bezdin sells him. Okay? He is acquired with money, or bishtar, or a document. Okay, the Gemara is going to explain what each one means. V'keina Atzmei, how does he get out? How does he free himself from the slavery? So Mishnah says, either Bishanim, meaning he works for 6 years, like it says at the beginning of Mishpatim, you know, Sheishanim Yaveit, he works for 6 years, or Yoivo, if Yoivo comes in the middle of the 6 years, the Jubilee year, or Bigoroin Keset, if he pays up the money. Meaning, the din is like this, Eved Ivri, and again, the Mishnah right now is speaking according to all opinions, which is speaking by Machru Bezdin. When Bezdin sells him. Let's say he was sold for $600. Just to make it easy. The slave was sold for $600. He sold for 6 years. So basically it's $100 a year. If after 3 years the Eved comes into money, or the family comes, they come to the master and they say, he worked 3 years, okay, 3 years left, he worked $100 a year. Here's $300. He's free. So then the master can't object. The Eved can acquire his freedom by buying himself back. So an Eved Ivri goes out in one of three ways. Either after 6 years, or if Yovel comes in the middle of the 6 years, or Gedoyin Kesa means he buys his freedom. But, you know, whatever you call it, for the years. Yes. Said our love Ami Ivriya, an additional way of Ami Ivriya, meaning a maidservant under Bas Mitzvah, that the father sold her as a slave. The only woman that's able to be a slave is a girl under Bas Mitzvah that the father sells as a slave. So Ami Ivriya also goes out 6 years, she also goes out Yovel, she also goes out if she buys herself back, but in addition to that, she goes out b'simonim. If she reaches puberty, she also goes out free automatically. That means if she was sold, let's say, when she was 10, as soon as she becomes bas mitzvah 12, reaches puberty, she goes out. Hanirtza, one who, you know, like the pasuk says, after 6 years, he comes and says, oh, I love my master, I love my wife, I want to stay longer. So, you know, you take him to Bezdin, you pierce his ear. Well, as a rule, it's by the age of 12. As a rule. That's why she's a gedayla, no? Yeah. So you want to make a girl a gedayla. The assumption is, at the age of 12, she's a gedayla. But an army of Ria goes out, b'simonim. Hanirtza, one who gets pierced the ear. Nikna b'ritziya. He becomes acquired for the rest of the time through the piercing. And Kainis Atzma B'Yevel, but he goes out B'Yevel, like it says Ad Olam, Yevel takes him out, or Mitzvah Ha'odon. If the master dies, the kids do not inherit an Eved Ivri. That's the din.
Because he's Jewish.
Because he's Jewish. Eved Kanani is inheritance. You know, a goyish slave, with the mission that I'm talking about, it's the next Mishnah. Eved Kanani, if the master dies, he goes over inheritance to the kid. Because the difference is, Eved Kanani, a goyish slave, becomes the property of the master. Eved Ivri does not become the property, the owner doesn't own him. The master doesn't own him. It's like a guy who is bound to work for 6 years to this guy, whether he likes it or not. But he doesn't own him. So if the guy dies, he can go up. No, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. If he dies in 6 years, not by Nirtza. If the master dies within the 6 years, the Eved does not go out free. He stays for the 6 years by the kids. Only by Nirtza, the Mishnah says, he goes out by Misa Sa'adav. It doesn't matter.
It says only after the term he wants to stay in Eved.
Right, but I'm saying the initial 6 years he has to work. Even if the master dies, he still works for 6 years for the kids. So or if there are no kids, any yorshim, whoever inherits the master, gets the Eved with him.
Eved Ivri.
Huh?
Eved
Ivri. But only for the 6 years. After the 6 years, he goes out free. Okay. So the Mishnah said, Eved Ivri is acquired with money. Right? When you buy him for money, that's how you acquire him. So the Gemara says, Eved Ivri nikna b'kesef minol. From where do we know that a Jewish slave is acquired with money? Or the Torah says, ki sikna Eved Ivri. So when you acquire an Eved Ivri, the Torah doesn't say how. So the question is, from where do we learn? The Mishnah says you acquire with money. Sigmar says, where do we learn that out from? Amakra, the Pasuk says, Mikasiv Miknoser. The Pasuk says, from the money of his, that he was bought with. Right. No, because it says, from the money that he was bought. You will redeem him from the money that he was bought. So you see that he was bought with money. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. But that pasuk is speaking if a Jew was sold to a goy. A Jewish slave was sold to a goy. The din is you have to force the family to redeem him.
They didn't sell him to a goy?
No, this is Mechir Atzmi. Until now speaking Mechir Machru Bezdin. But this Bryce is saying like this. We're going to learn out Machru Bezdin to a Jew from a Jew that was sold to a guy. See, the problem is, and that's why the Torah, you know, says you have to buy him back, because when a Jewish man, a slave, is sold to a guy, he can't keep mitzvahs anymore. The guy's not going to let him keep mitzvahs. The Gemara tells the story of the Behema. There was a Jew owned an ox, one of the Amiroim of the Gemara, owned an ox, and he sold the ox to the goy. Came Shabbos, the ox refused to work, because by the Jew, he didn't work Shabbos. Says, and you're not allowed to have the animals work. The animal refused to work. The goy came back to the Jew, said, I want my money back. It says, the cow's taking vacation one day a week. So the Jew said, I'll straighten it out for you. He went over to the ox. This is the Gemara. He went over to the ox, and he whispered in the ox's ear. Said, "Until now, you're owned by a Jew. You're not allowed to work on Shabbos. Now you're owned by a guy. You're allowed to work on Shabbos." And the ox started working on Shabbos. But you're going to sell a Jew to a guy. The guy's not going to let him work on Shabbos. So you bested. In fact, the Torah forces the relatives, if they're able to redeem him. But over there, the expression in the pasuk gives mikasev miknasei from the money he was acquired, right? So the Gemara says there's no difference Jew or guy. If you were sold to a Jew or sold to a guy, the Torah says mikasev miknasei. So Gemara says, but ashkechan eved ivri anim kalev dichovim. That pasuk is only speaking about a Jew sold to a guy. Hoyel v'chol kinyanu bekasev, because a guy can only purchase things with money. That's the only kinyan exists by a guy. But nimka li Yisrael minolan. From where do we know that if he sold to a Jew, how do you know that he's acquired with money? Maybe you can acquire him with different ways. Amar Krav, the pasuk says vehefda. So it says like this: by Amar Ivriya, okay, it says if she redeems herself, she goes out free. Malamid shemegars pidyana veyotza. So you see from here that she can by Amar Ivriya. She can deduct the payment that she made, and she goes out free. So what do you see from there? How was she acquired? With money. Because what does the Torah say? If the Omer wants to go out free, she redeems from the money she paid, right? And she gets it back, and she goes free. So you see from there that she does it. So Gemara says, okay. Okay, we found that an Amei Vriya, a maidservant, you can acquire with money. Why? Because a Jewish girl could be acquired with Kedushin. With money, okay, so she could be acquired with money. Because we find the concept of money by a woman, by Kedushin, right? A man acquires a woman with money. But Eved Ivri Minolon, where do we see that people are acquired with money? The Gemara says nowhere in Chumash so far does it say that you can acquire a person with money. But where do we learn that out from? So the Gemara says, Amar Kra, the pasuk says like this: Ki machalacha achicha ivriya ivriya. If your Jewish brother or Jewish sister, maid servant or male servant, ba'avodcha sheishanim, they should work 6 years. In the same pasuk, we liken a male servant, Eved Ivri, to Amar Ivriya, right? So the Gemara says we liken one to the next. So the question is, if Amar Ivriya could be acquired with money, and we liken Eved Ivri to Amar Ivriya, because in the same passage it uses both, what does it teach us? That Eved can also be acquired with money, just like an Amar, because in the same passage we're likening Eved to Amar. So the Gemara says, okay, but Ashkechan Mechru Bezdin. We only found that this then applies when Bezdin sells him. But Ne'el V'nimka Bal Korcha, because he sold against his will. So maybe that's why you don't need such a strong kinyan, and therefore money is enough. But Merichet Atzmei Minolon, from where do we learn that if a guy sold himself as a slave? Huh? 28. How do we know that he could also be acquired with money? Meaning, the Gemara says like this. Okay, you're telling me, it says in the Pasuk, Amar Ivriya could be acquired with money. Another Pasuk says we liken Eved to Amar, right? So if Amar could be acquired with money, so can an Eved. So the Gemara says, no, but maybe not all Eveds. Maybe only an Eved that's sold by Bezdin, because he sold against his will. So you don't need such a strong kinyan, because he sold against his will. But a guy that sells himself as a slave, because he's broke, how do I know he could be acquired with money? In other words, like this. We're going to go off a little bit, but it's an interesting halachic concept. The concept of acquisition normally takes two people. There's a giver, and there's a taker. Now the giver could be seller, buyer, and you know, whatever the transition is. Okay? There's a giver and there's a taker.
And the object.
And the object. Now, normally, for my object to go to you, there has to be some type of, in halacha it's called gemiras das, there has to be some type of mindset that I want to give up ownership, and I want to give up the ownership to you. Okay? So normally, there's a giver, and there's a receiver. If there's no giver, the kinyan is not as strong as if there is a giver. Because when you have a giver and a receiver, the giver's mind is helping the receiver's mind.
Meeting of the mind.
The meeting of the mind. Okay? Therefore, for instance, if I sell you something, I give you something, it's me and it's you. And the object, like you said. What happens if I find a lost article in the street? Hefker, free for all, and I pick it up. I acquire it. The problem is, nobody's giving it to me. There's no giver here. It's ownerless. It's a lost article. The guy, you know, Yush, he gave up hope, or he made it Hefker, or it doesn't belong to anybody. Right? You go fishing in the ocean. Yeah? Who owns those fish?
If you catch them?
Yeah. No, now you own them.
You do.
Yeah, but if you own a lake, if you own a lake,
you own the fish in it.
I can't go fishing in your lake, it's stealing. Right? I mean, Torah law, I'm sure civil law, that's called stealing. But in international waters, or ownerless waters, right? So there's no owner, it's Hefker. Therefore, if I catch a fish, it's mine. I walk in the street, I see a lost article. There's no owner, it's ownerless. I can acquire it. But you know what? Over there, it's not a very powerful kinyan. Because there's no giver. It's just the receiver. Therefore, there's a very interesting din. A kid, especially under six, if he finds a mitzi in the street and he picks it up, biblically he doesn't acquire it. Because a kid, especially under six, doesn't have the mind maturity to receive. And there's no giver. If I give something to a kid under six, who's old enough to understand the difference between a little pebble that he'll throw away and a nut he'll keep, because he has the maturity to differentiate between something good and something bad, if I give him something, he biblically acquires it. But if there's no giver, he finds it in the street, halachically, biblically,
you could take it away from him.
The Gemara says, the Chachamim said, we don't want kicking, biting, yelling, screaming. So the Chachamim said, you're not allowed to take it from him. That's a rabbinic din. Biblically, it's not the kids. Biblically, you can walk over to the kid, give him a punch in the face. Well, not really. And take away, just grab the object away from him and it's yours. Because he never acquired it. Why didn't he acquire it? Because there's no giver.
He's under 6 years old?
Yeah. There's no giver. But if there's a giver, the mind of the giver helps the mind of the receiver to acquire. That's a major concept by Kinyan. So Gemara says like this. Based on this understanding, we can understand a little bit what's going on over here. When Beis Din sells you, because you're forced against your will, you don't need such a strong kinyan. So therefore, maybe money is good. But the Gemara says, how do I know that if a guy is selling himself, where nobody's forcing him to sell himself, there's no seller, so to speak, except him, how do you know money is good? Maybe money is not strong enough. Maybe money is not strong enough to acquire them. And the concept over here goes even further. Tangible items are never acquired with money. Tangible items are not acquired with money.
What is a tangible item?
Movable things. This Gemara, yeah? Let's see, it's $25, yeah?
It's never acquired with money?
No.
It's acquired by taking it.
Picking it up.
In other words, you give them money to the guys.
You can't buy an animal with money. That means, if I sell you my ox for $100. Yeah, or for that matter, I'll sell you the Gemara for $25.
Right.
You give me the $25.
But that doesn't acquire.
You did not acquire the thing. I could change my mind. You could change your mind.
It's actually taking it.
Yeah. Money is not a tool of acquisition for movable items.
So okay. Slaves movable items?
Later on we're going to learn that from a pasuk we see How could you buy an eved with money? He moves. The answer is, there's a pasuk that likens slaves to land. And therefore, just like land you could buy with money, you could buy a slave with money also. But the Gemara says, where do we know this from? Maybe money is not such a strong sign of ownership. Acquisition basically means you're showing a very powerful sign of ownership that it's yours. Right? But if the guy's time just giving money, from where do you learn that's a good kinyan? So Gemara says, Machru Bezdin. Machru Bezdin, the guy was forced to be sold. Bezdin is selling him. Maybe that's why money is good. How do I know, though, that in the case where the guy is selling himself, how do I know that money is a good kinyan? Maybe not. So the Gemara says, Yalev Sachir Sachir. The Gemara is soon going to explain this. Exer Shava. It says the word Sachir by Machru Bezdin. It says Sachir by Mecher Atzmei. Just like, so we like one to the next. Just like Machru Bezdin could be acquired with money, so couldn't Mecher Atzmei. Okay? So now the Gemara says, Hey, Nicha, that's only good according to the opinion that says Sachir Sachir is Exeter Shava. There is such a learning, Sachir Sachir. Ela Mandala Yalav Sachir Sachir, but there's another opinion we'll soon see in the Gemara that doesn't hold of this Exeter Shava, that we don't like in selling yourself to selling Bezdin. Ma'ikala Meima, then you don't have again a reason to be able to learn that one from the next. In other words, the Gemara is something like this. Okay, Bezdin sells you as a slave. You could be acquired with money. How do we know if you sell yourself you could also be acquired with money? Sigmar says, because we liken an Eved that was sold by Bezdin to an Eved that was like sold by himself. Where do we learn that out from? Because here it says the word Sachir. By Bezdin selling it says Sachir. By guy selling himself it says Sachir. We look and liken the two words together, we learn that the same thing. But Sigmar says, not everybody holds it that Gzeir Shava. Not everybody holds of it. And if you don't hold of it, then we can't liken Machru Bezdin to Ma'icher Atzmei. So again, the Gemara is going back to this original question. Maybe if Bezdin sells you, you could be acquired with money. And maybe if you sell yourself, you can't. Okay? And as we learned many times, Agzeder Shava, the Gemara says, you can't make up yourself. You either learned it from your Rebbe, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai, but you cannot make you can't make your own gzeir shava. Okay? So the question is, if Moshe Rabbeinu said that, how could they argue if it is or isn't? So the Rishonim explain, Moshe Rabbeinu was given X amount of gzeir shavas. The argument is this one of the ones that Moshe Rabbeinu taught at Har Sinai or not? There's always many arguments about, some they never argue about, and certain ones they argue about. So the Gemara says, okay, but and the Gemara is going to explain what that means. But Amakas, the Gemara answers like this. It says, v'chisasig, meaning, first the Pasuk is speaking about Bezdin selling you, and then the Pasuk in the next Pasha speaks about selling yourself. When the Torah is going from one Pasha to the next, the Torah uses the word v'chisasig, with a vav. Vav connects, like Rashi says in Chumash. So therefore, we connect one pasha to the next pasha. Therefore, we liken Machru Bezdin not from the Gzeira Shava, because they don't hold of it. We liken Bezdin selling you to selling yourself. Therefore, we learn out the top from the bottom, meaning the case when the guy sells himself to the case that the guy is sold by Bezdin. And therefore, we can learn out that just like when you sell yourself to a guy, you acquire with money. So if you sell yourself, you can also to a Jew, you can also be acquired with money. What?
The same laws of Qinyan applies to Goy too?
No. I mean, there are Qinyanim by a Goy, but not the same ones as by Jew.
So how can a Jew sell himself to a Goy?
Because by a Goy, money works. There are different Qinyanim by a Jew than there are by a Goy.
So there is a meeting.
And even by a Jew, like, look, karka, you acquire one way. metaltalin, tangible items, you acquire a different way. Right?
But when he sells himself, he doesn't get money. He gets room and board and food.
No, they paid money too.
The slave gets money, but the slaves...
If he sells himself.
Yeah. The master pays him money because...
When the pirates capture people and they sell them as slaves, so the pirates control you, so they get the money. But if a guy comes over to a guy and says, listen, I'm broke, I need money, I want to be sold to you as a slave, uh-huh. He gets the money.
Why would they go as far as to sell themselves as slaves? Why not just hire themselves out as a hired man worker instead of a slave?
Because the people in those days wanted slaves.
Why would they want a slave?
Because then the master can give him a shiks at night that he should be able to reproduce goyish slaves. I mean, there's a lot of advantages.
Isn't
of...
Isn't the property of a slave belong to a master?
He acquires the slave, but the Gemara just said he's not owned by the master.
He's leased.
He's leased for 6 years.
And he gets the money. So it's like he gets the money like a hire.
It depends. If Bezdin sells him, Bezdin gets the money because he stole. Right. And he can't pay it back, so Bezdin takes the money.
He makes the money.
Or he or the family, whoever it is.
So I need 10 grand, I'm going to sell myself as a slave. And kind of thing.
Yeah, but then the Gemara says, but Rashi says in Chumash, Ki yomo chachicha, it's only because he's so poor that he can't, has no money to eat, no food to eat. Then he's allowed to sell himself. Otherwise, he's not allowed to.
And the maximum time is 6 months, right?
6 years.
6 years.
Okay. Well, then the Gemara says about, you know, he wants to stay longer, he drills his... But then now the Gemara is coming up to the argument to Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, if that's only when Bezdin sells you, or even if you sell yourself as a slave, can you also stay to Yevon?
Is it 6 years until Shemitah?
Yevon.
So
this is 6 years. The Mishnah says either Shanim or Yevon, not Shemitah. Shemitah doesn't get rid of you. No, it's either Yovel or 6 years.
Shemitah is only for debts?
Right.
Is there a minimum time that he can sell himself? Or is there...
No, if you sell yourself in 6 years, you can buy yourself back. So you can redeem yourself. You prorate it per year. Like we said before you came, that if a guy was sold for 6 years for $600... It's $100 a year, yeah. Right? So after 3 years, he can come. The avid can say, "Here's $300. I want to go free," and he has to let him. After 2 years, he gives him $400. Mm-hmm. It's similar to selling land in Eretz Yisrael. In the olden times, when Yovel existed, you didn't sell land; it was a sell lease option until Yovel. The price of land was based on how many years were left to Yovel.
We should probably do that system here in the States.
Yeah, right.
So, Rabbi, let me get this straight. We learned that a Jew can sell himself to another Jew from V'chi Tasig, which talks about a Jew selling himself to a goy. Right?
But there's another pasuk, Ki Yomo Chachicha. Okay. No. The only Gemara is only talking about the Kenyan aspect of it. How do you acquire the slave?
With money.
With money, right.
And then, if we have this source, which is stronger than the Beit Din selling the slave, why do we need the source from the Bittin that Kenyan?
Because if we're not likening Mecher Atzmei to Mecher Bezdin, then how do you know Mecher Atzmei?
Because we learned that from...
That's only if he sells himself to the guy, because the guy's only Kenyan is money, the Gemara said. But how do you know if a Jew sells himself to another Jew? How do you know the Jew acquires him with money? So Gemara said, we learn about from Mecher Bezdin. Right? The Gemara said, but that's only if you hold the Gzeir Shava. If you don't hold the Gzeir Shava, you can't learn it out. So the Gemara said, you learn out from Vechi, next to Vav, that connects Mechit Atzmi to Mechit to a Goy. By a Goy you can sell, so this teaches that you can sell also.
But once you establish that, then you don't really need the source for bidding, selling a Jew as a slave. Because you said that's a very weak Kenyan. If Kesef is good...
Yeah, but the Gemara says, yeah, but that's after we have the premise that Mechru Bezdin is a cry with money. Once you have the premise of Mechru Bezdin, but that's only good for Mechru Bezdin, but you still need it for Mechru Bezdin. That it could be a cry with money. We learned in the later Mishnas that Eved Kanani has a different Kenyan. in certain respects. Land has a different kinyan. Metaltlan has a different kinyan. Everything has a different kinyan. And what's good for one is not necessarily good for others. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. Well, man tana the leyolif sachir sachir. Which tana doesn't hold of this gzeder shavah to liken mechru bezdin and mecher atzmi? How do we know? In other words, one opinion says all the dinim that apply to bezdin selling a slave applies to a guy who sold himself, and the other opinion says no. The Gemara says like this. Tanya says like this. It says in a braisa on mecher atzmi, a guy who sells himself, nimka l'sheish is very interesting. He could sell himself for 6 years, v'yeser al sheish, or more than 6 years. This opinion says, a guy that sells himself as a slave can sell himself for as long as he wants.
Wow.
Machro bezdin, but if bezdin sells him, ain't an imka al sheish. He can only be sold for 6 years. Next, hamecher atzmei, a guy that sells himself as a slave, ain't a nirtza. In other words, once his time comes up, he cannot say, I want to stay longer. Let's say he's on something for 10 years. After 10 years, he has to go out. He can't say, oh, I want to stay longer, pierce my ears, and I'll stay 2 years. It doesn't work. Machro bezdin, but if bezdin sells him and he wants to stay longer, the din is near, so he does get pierced, bored ears, and he can stay longer. Mecher atzmei, a person who sells himself as a slave, there's no severance pay. Machro bezdin, but if bezdin sells him, manikim, like as the Torah says, you have to give him hanaka, severance pay. I'll explain this in a second. Hamecher atzmei, a guy who sells himself, ein rabbi meisel shivcha kanainis. His master cannot give him a shiksa, you know, to reproduce. Machro bezdin, if bezdin sells him though, rabbi meisel shivcha kanainis. His rabbi could give him a shivcha kanainis. So this Tanhu is the chachamim, by the way. The Chachamim hold, there's a big difference between Mecher Atzmei and Mecher Bezdin. All the laws of slavery, of Eved Ivri, that Torah says at the beginning of Mishpatim, this time that the Chachamim hold, only applies if Bezdin sells him. If Bezdin sells you, it's only 6 years, not more. You want to stay longer, you need to get pierced. You can't get a Shivcha Kanainis, you can't, you don't get severance pay. Machru Bezdin gets all these things.
So
1 second. Rabbi Lazar Eimer, Rabbi Lazar says no. They have exactly the same din. Zev is zeh ein nimka l'sheish. Whether Bezdin sells you or the guy sells himself, it's only 6 years. Zev is zeh nirtza, whether you sell yourself or Bezdin sells you, you get pierced. Zev is zeh manikim lay, both get gifts. Zev is zeh rabbi me, why? Because he learns, but the Gemara says, is probably because he holds it a hekish. I mean, the Gzer Shavah. Sachir Sachir, we liken Mechru Bezdin to Mecher Atzmi. But this is the source where there's a minig that if a guy works for you and you let him go, you have to give him severance pay.
What is it, though?
Hmm?
This is where it is.
Well, the source of it is by an Eved. The Shail is if it applies in other workers too, and the Rebbe wanted in the Chabad institutions that they give severance pay. If you fire a worker, according to Chabad custom, you get a month per year that you worked. You worked in an institution 10 years?
Yeah.
Not, and even quit. You get 10 months pay. After they fire
all
you.
All at once? Or
what?
All at once?
No, you work out a payment schedule, but they owe you 10 months.
A lot of money?
And you get five.
If you work 10 years, you get Chedesh L'Shana.
So if you work for Chabad, like
100 years?
No.
They pay you 100 months.
No, they pay you?
If they fire you.
How long?
For the amount of time. If you work 10 years, you get paid for 10 months. That's what they're supposed to do. That's what they do.
A month for a year.
A month per year.
That's how long
it is. That's
how long this mitzvah. Positive.
It's not a mitzvah. The Rebbe wanted is a minute. But if you make up with a guy when you hire him, that if you let him go, there's no hanukkah. You can make any condition money. We learned before, you can make any condition with money.
You're saying the Rebbe wanted it, but it was never established.
It was done. I mean, according to in the Din Torah, unless if you specified not, the Bezdin would give it to you.
Really?
That doesn't mean they'll pay.
Good luck collecting it.
Right. Good luck collecting.
But you only get paid if you don't have a job. If you have a job, you stay put.
No, you still get it.
But they pay it.
Huh?
Yes, they pay. Yes, they pay.
It depends when.
But you probably will never do it.
You need a good lawyer, don't you?
No, a guy just called me today. A guy was working in an institution, and they let him go. But he was asking me, his wife also worked there, does she also get hanukkah? And that they don't do. It's only the men give.
The
main breadwinner.
Well, maybe she was the main. Maybe she was.
But she wasn't, so it doesn't matter. But no, but chal d'minig is only the men get, not the women.
Oh, boy.
No, but it's discrimination.
But the source is with a slave. Probably.
The source is with a slave.
It's a big stretch.
No, because Eved Ivri is not really a bound slave. You don't own him.
Right.
He's working for you. Let's say, if there's no minig in a certain group of people, there's no minig, you can't, Bezin can't enforce it. If there's a minig in a certain place...
I understand, but I wanted to say... Yeah,
listen. If a guy works for you, yeah? And then you let him go. Now he has to move back to New York, let's say. Base of Migdash, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He has to move back to New York. Do you have to pay his moving expenses? Back?
If he's going to Base of Migdash, of course. What is he going to pay for his expenses?
So it's not so simple. If you have set a precedent already that you did pay other people's working moving expenses back, if that precedence was sold, in halacha, it's very possible you would have to pay those guys too. But by the way, this is only if you let a guy go because you let him go. But if a guy wasn't doing his job, or negligence, or God forbid he was a teacher who molested kids, I mean, then there's no severance pay, obviously, because he's rebelling. I mean, it's not the guy who worked for you did his job and you're just letting him go because you have no money. It's a whole different story. But if the guy wasn't doing his job, then you don't pay severance pay. Okay, so Gemara says like this. My love, how come if you, what's the argument to Rabbi Lazar and the Tanakh and the Chachamim? Chachamim say, Mechru Bezin is one din, Mechir Asper is a different din. Rabbi Lazar says you have the same din, right? So logically, the Gemara says, what's the argument? Danikama, the first time in the Chachamim, Lo Yalev Sochir Sochir. Does not learn the Gzeir Shavav Sochir Sochir. Therefore, all the din of Mechru Bezin don't apply to Mechir Atzmei, because he doesn't learn the Gzeir Shavah. Rabbi Lazar, Yalev Sachir Sachir, Rabbi Lazar does learn the Sachir Sachir, so therefore he says, whatever applies in the first case, applies in, by Machrul Bezin, applies to Mechir Atzmei, and therefore all these dinim apply. So Gemara says no. He says, Amar Rav Tevyumi Mishmei Dabaya, he says no, that's not necessarily the source of the argument. It's possible kula alma yalev sochir sochir. Maybe everybody holds of the gzeder shava, even the chachamim. Why is there a difference between Bezdin selling him and the guy who sold himself? He says, but my time at the Tanai Kam, I'll tell you why. Dama meicher atzmei. Why does he say meicher atzmei sells himself from six or more than six, and Bezdin selling is only for six? Because miyat rachmona gabi mechru Bezdin. The Torah has an explicit miut. The Torah excludes it. Why? It says, "Va'avodcha sheishanim." He should work for you 6 years, right? Which means somebody else doesn't. Who's the somebody else? Le'mecher atzmei. If a guy sells himself, he doesn't work for 6 years. The idach and the other opinion. How could he say both are sold for 6 years if the Torah says only Bezdin sells and works for 6 years? Because it says, what does it mean, Vavotcha? Lecha v'lo l'yerish. For you, and not for the inheritor. And the Mefarshim at the bottom explain that that's only if there's no son. But if there's a son, you still work for him even after the father dies for the 6 years. Not any other Yorshim.
Himself after 6 years, he can't be a slave anymore.
By which opinion? According to one opinion, that's it. You can't do anymore. Okay, he says, V'idach, and the other opinion, what is he, how does he know that you don't go to the Yoshim? He says, it says a different, again, Avdacha, which teaches us two dinim. Number one, that only Meichir Bezdin goes for six, and not if you sell yourself. And secondly, that you don't go to the Yoshim. V'idach, and the other one, how does he know that din? He says, Ahul Artsos Adonu Da'as. It just comes to appease the master, that the Torah says, listen, the guy worked for you 6 years, it's enough. Let him go. Let the guy go home after 6 years. By the way, the whole concept of 6 years has to do with the 6,000 years of the world, and then the Vashvi'is Yisrael Lechav Shechinam, that's, you know, the Shabbos, he goes off free, and all that stuff.
So according to this, everybody agrees, Sachir, Sachir,
Kapur
is the two.
Right. But the Gemara, yet, they argue about every detail. So, but the Gemara says every time there's a miut. But you know what we're going to use that, but the Gzeir Shabbat will be used though, to teach that you acquire with money. That we will use it for. That you acquire him with money, then you don't need the other psukim to tell me that both avadim you can acquire with money. Because like we said, it is a chiddush, that you can acquire him with money even though he's a movable guy. Have other move around. So it's not really, it's more of metaltlin conceptually than karka, but the Gemara says we liken the evet to karka. Okay.
Shkoyah.